Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Just a little side note before I begin. I was thinking that gospel reading is really long, and I was feeling sorry for all of you. You had to stand for that whole time. But, you know, I just read about a week and a half ago an article that reminded me, did you all know there used to never be pews in churches? And there's still, in some Orthodox churches in America, there are no pews. I've never been to one, but that would be interesting. There's only a bench along the side of the walls if you have to sit down. So for many, many centuries, Christians had to stand through a whole, maybe even two-hour service. So the next time you feel like we have to stand a long time, just remember that, all right? So I wanted to start by talking about, isn't it frustrating when you read a book or you're watching a movie and you get to the end and then there's like no resolution to the thing? I always get so frustrated when a movie ends that way. You know, it's a great story all along, you get to the end and here's the credits and you're like, where's the rest? You know, where's the rest of the story? What's going to happen? Well, the parable of the prodigal son is not exactly like, but it's a kind of a cliffhanger, okay? You get to the end here, and the older son is standing outside the party, pouting around because he's mad. The younger son is having this party, and the father says, look, shouldn't we do this? And then it just stops. And so you really are supposed to be kind of wondering, what is the older son going to do? You know, is he going to yell at his dad and tell dad he's unfair and he's a mean guy and tell him he's all wrong? Is he going to tuck his tail between his legs and go into the party anyway? Is he going to run away, never come back? Well, the reason this is important is, why do you think Jesus left it hanging? Why did he leave it as a cliffhanger like this? Well, because it doesn't matter what the older son does. It matters what you and I are going to do. That's really the big part of this parable. What will you and I do when we think we're better than somebody else that doesn't deserve to be here? That's the issue. And remember why Jesus told this story. I mean, it's very clear in the gospel reading. The reason he told these parables is because the Pharisees and the scribes were mad that Jesus was eating with these terrible sinners. So it's the exact story of the prodigal son. Jesus is here throwing parties and meals for tax collectors and sinners, and outside the Pharisees and scribes are saying, this is ridiculous. They don't deserve that. Why is he associating with those losers, right? So that's why he tells the parable. And you and I need to realize that we do the exact same thing. We really do. Okay? You have to look in the mirror a little bit. So often it happens here at church, but it happens all over. Okay? We get frustrated because we look at others in the church and we think they don't deserve it as much as we do. So I'll give you a few examples, and I bet you'll see yourself in some of these. We often will say, well, we're better than so-and-so because we're here every Sunday. We're at church every Sunday, and they never come. You know, they haven't been here in a year. That's so real good Christians they are, right? Or something like this. We're better than so-and-so because they've had two divorces. You know, I've only had one, so I'm obviously better than them, right? Or I've had none. Or we're better than so-and-so because I've been going to church since I was a little kid. You know, I never missed. But they just started going to church now that they retired. Now they have more time, right? So I'm better than them. Or we're better than so-and-so because they are known all around town that they drink way too much, right? Everybody knows about it, right? And they still come to church. How could they do that, right? Or we're better than so-and-so because we sit in the front of church, right? And they sit in the back, right? Or we're better than so-and-so because we sing louder than they do, right? You pick it. I mean, any number of silly things where we're exactly like the older brother. Dad, why did you throw him a party? He doesn't deserve it. Why does he get to come home and you just welcome him back? That's ridiculous, right? I deserve it more. I'm so much better than him. So Jesus tells to all of us then, okay? To you and me, he tells the story so that we would see this. It's not a story about one sinner. It's a story about two sinners. And that's where the name parable of the prodigal son isn't so helpful. Because it's really a parable about two sons, and especially the older one, who doesn't think the younger son should be given this party. So let me just talk a little bit about each of them, then we can make this point again. The younger son, everybody can see he's a terrible guy. I mean, nobody reads this story and thinks, wow, that's a really great guy there, right? I mean, he tells his dad, I wish you were dead, right? I don't want to wait 10 more years for you to die so I can get the inheritance. Why don't you just die now and give me my property? I mean, that's a terrible guy. Imagine in our area here, it would be like a farmer who owns 1,000 acres of land, and his son comes and says to him, well, Dad, I found a buyer. They're going to buy your land, right? And it's sold and gone, and then he just takes the money and wastes it all. We would all say, that's a terrible guy, right? Well, that's this younger son. He says, Dad, I wish you were dead already. All I want is my money. And then when he gets it, it's not like he uses it well. He goes off and squanders it all, just wastes it all. Like we would say, flushes it down the toilet. It's all just gone in an instant. And then, you know, again, this is not like he's some good guy. At some point, he's broke. He's really hungry. And he says, oh, maybe I'll go back to good old Dad. He'll take care of me, right? We would say, man, do you even have a conscience? This is a terrible guy. He's a jerk. He's rude. He's greedy. He's selfish, immature, doesn't honor his parents, doesn't care what God says. He's no good. And yet still, when he comes home, Father welcomes him back. Not only welcomes him, but rejoices over him, kisses him, dresses him up, throws a big party for him. There's no way he deserves this part. But of course, that's the first point of Jesus' parable. No one does. Sinners don't deserve a party like this. We don't deserve to come here. We don't deserve to hear God's word, receive his forgiveness. You know, we, just like the younger son, have been given this wonderful inheritance, this whole planet, earth, and our family, and every good thing God has given us. And we're just like the prodigal son. We waste it. We waste our money, we waste our time, we waste resources, we waste our minds, right? On top of it, we're selfish, we're greedy, we're immature, we're us, all of it. And yet, here's the Father welcoming us back again and again and again. We just sang it. Father welcomes all his children, right? He does it. The gospel is for sinners. Now you all kind of know that, and you're going to say, yep, that's what the parable is about. But now you have to go to the next son. And how easily it is to forget that we really don't deserve it. And that's what happens to him. He immediately thinks, I am so much better than my worthless brother, right? I never get a party, and yet here he's got a party and they're killing the fattened calf. What's the deal with this, right? But you have to understand, all he's doing is exchanging one sin for another sin. Okay, yes, he wasn't selfish and greedy and didn't run off and blow all of Dad's money. But he's full of pride and arrogance and hatred. So, which is worse? He hates his younger brother. And there's no way he says, I'm going to a party for that loser. So see, you got two sons, two sinners. And the father, he says, I love both of you. Because the gospel and the forgiveness of Jesus is only for sinners. No one else gets him. Only sinners do. And you see this in that first parable of the lost sheep. So one sheep goes off missing, and the shepherd runs after him, and it looks like he doesn't even care about the other 99. Well, he doesn't, because the other 99 don't even exist. Jesus says those are 99 righteous persons. There are no such thing. Every single one of us is a lost sinner. And Christ, our Savior, is searching after every one of us. So I wanted to give you something I think is really important for Christians to know, is that these two sons, they represent the two ways you and I can go astray off of the path of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Okay, sometimes we call these two ditches that you can fall into on either side of the gospel. So the younger son, he goes off the road on one way. He falls into this ditch on this side, where basically says, I can do whatever I want because God will forgive me. And we have a lot of names for it. We call it lawlessness or licentiousness, which if that's a big word, just think about as a license. It's like you get this license where God says, okay, well, you can sin however much you want and it's okay, I'll forgive you. And that is what the younger son does. Well, Dad loves me and I got his money, so it doesn't matter what I do with my life. I can go squander it all and it's fine. And this is a ditch. This is a trap. This is where Christians think, well, why do you care about sins? Who cares? God's going to forgive us anyway. Or Christians might say, why do you care if people live together before they're married? Why do you care if two men or two women want to be together? Why do you care about abortion? Why do you care about gambling? God forgives all sins, right? We're all sinners. Well, that's falling into this ditch that says, well, none of this matters. We can just take God's law and throw it out the window because, well, God just wants us to be happy. That's a trap. It's a ditch. It's a way that leads to damnation, not salvation. Now, the other side of the ditch is what we call legalism or moralism. And this ditch is where you throw away not the law, but you throw away the gospel. And you say, well, yes, God loves everybody, but here's the rules you have to follow. And so instead of God's law, we make up all these laws of our own that people have to follow to be as good as we are, right? And this is what the older brother does. He says, well, the younger son, he's not good. He hasn't followed the same rules I've followed, right? Well, what this is, sometimes we just call this plain hypocrite because that's what it is. These are the times where we look good on the outside, but we never want to admit that inside we are dirty and sinful and rotten. It's the I'm better than you are side. So that's the older son, right? So whether you fall to the right side of the ditch or whether you fall to the left side of the ditch, who are you? You're a sinner. The gospel is for sinners. And, you know, if you've ever played any video game where you're driving, racing, and it's the first time you play it, you'd be like side to side, slamming onto the walls, into the ditches and so forth. Well, that's kind of the way we are as sinners. We're always going in one ditch to the other, constantly. Right? One time we'll be throwing God's law away and say, well, I can do whatever I want. The next time we'll be making up all these rules that we think everybody has to follow. We're hypocrites one day and we're rebels the next. But Jesus keeps inviting us back again and again and again back to the road, back to the path of salvation, back to himself, right? This is why we come to church, because he invites us back onto the path, right? Come and join in the feast, he says. Here's my body and blood, which I shed for you to forgive all your sins. We don't want to be the younger son that's running away from the party, but we also don't want to be the older son who thinks he's too good for the party. Don't be either one of them, okay? Don't act like there's no law for you, that you can do whatever you want. But on the other hand, don't act like you're better than all the other sinners and pout about how you should be the center of attention. The way of salvation is only one way, Jesus. Jesus, your Savior. We admit we're sinners and we find our forgiveness in him. And at the same time, we live in him. We do good works that he gives us to do, not throwing away his laws, but doing the good works that Jesus has given to do. Then the only thing that would remain at the end then is, how will the parable end? How is this parable going to end? And that question is just up to you and me. Will we come to the party and be excited for every single person that gets into the party? Will we welcome every other sinner besides ourselves to Jesus' party? In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord.